Most of us remember Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. However, I would venture to guess that most of us in this room do not remember the first speech he gave on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial some 6 years earlier. On May 17, 1957, Dr. King gave his first oratory from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, "Give Us the Ballot." This speech was one of King's major delivery, although it received very little publicity. Taking place at the Prayer Pilgrimage for Freedom, he used his speech not only to celebrate the 3-year anniversary of the landmark Brown v. Board of Education case, but also call for voting rights for African Americans. He called the Brown decisions a great beacon of light and hope to millions of disinherited people throughout the world. However, as he decried white opposition to the ruling, he quickly shifts his focus to the conniving methods that Southern officials were using to prevent blacks from becoming registered voters across the South. In front of an audience of some 20,000 people, Dr. King launched a clarion call for the greater protection of Southern blacks' rights to vote. And according to Dr. King, the call for voting rights for blacks was not only morally right, but would lead to change, change for the better for all Americans. He called on the Eisenhower administration, every member of Congress, white liberals in the North, white moderates in the South, and religious leaders in the African American community to provide greater leadership to ensure that every American will have the right to vote. Now, voting rights remain at the pinnacle at the civil rights agenda for the next 8 years, and in March of 1965, Dr. King called for clergy members from all over the land to join the hundreds of lay people to march 54 miles from Selma, Alabama, to the state capital in Montgomery, to petition the governor and legislators to open the state voting rolls to all citizens. 60 Unitarian ministers and lay people answered a call to come to Selma to participate in the rights demonstration. And one of our ministers who answered the call paid the ultimate sacrifice with his life. While in Selma, Reverend James Reed, an associate member minister from All Souls Church in Washington, D.C., and two of his colleagues were brutally attacked by a group of white segregationists as they left a restaurant. And Reverend Reed later died from his wound. The publicity and public outcry about Reed's death was the impetus for President Lyndon Johnson to call on both the House, on both the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate to introduce this landmark civil rights bill. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 passed overwhelmingly and was signed into law by President Johnson 49 years ago this month. This law opened the doors to the full inclusion of blacks as truly equal participants in U.S. politics. And a provision of this law led to an explosion of a number of black elected officials in the old Confederacy, and soon city after city, Atlanta, New Orleans, Birmingham, even Selma, elected black mayors. And in the years to come, more blacks were elected to Congress, and in 1989, right here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, we elected L. Douglas Wilder as our governor. The Voting Rights Act continued to protect rights of voters across the country for over 5 decades, and the legislation ensured equal access to the ballot, and has guaranteed millions of minority voters a chance to have their voices heard and their votes counted. Many disenfranchised Americans did indeed finally get the ballot. However, during the past 50 years, there has been numerous attempts to weaken or gut the Voting Rights Act. It has been challenged in the Supreme Court on 4 separate occasions, and each time it was upheld. But on June 25th, 2013, voters' rights once again came under attack when the U.S. Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision ruled to invalidate a key element of the act. This session required the states with the worst history of voting discrimination to seek preclearance from the federal government before implementing new voting changes. And within hours of last year's ruling, state legislators across the South rushed to pass controversial laws that could affect disenfranchised thousands of voters. This year alone, 14 states introduced legislation to restrict voter access through the ballot. Through a mixture of reduction of early voting and attack on Sunday voting, designated to make voting harder for working people, photo ID requirement for voting and registration that introduced the first financial barriers to voting since the poll tax, in addition, a racially motivated ex-felon ban. These restrictions unfairly target voters of color, aware as students, young people, seniors, working men and women, and immigrants. But we can't forget about the Commonwealth of Virginia. Lawmakers in our state voted to change a decade-old state law that allowed registered voters without identification to cast ballots if they signed a sworn statement. Now keep in mind, there wasn't a compelling reason for the change. There wasn't a thread of evidence of in-person voting fraud throughout the state of Virginia. However, to soften the impact these new laws will have, the state allowed eligible voters to present any kind of ID, including bank statements or utility bills. But you know, that wasn't good enough for the GOP lawmakers. So effective this year, the Commonwealth of Virginia will be requiring voters to present voter ID and not just any photo ID. It has to be a current Virginia driver's license or a state-issued photo ID. Now, potentially, at least 200,000 active voters would be disenfranchised because they lack Virginia driver's license, and many of them do not have another type of photo ID that the state may consider valid. My friends, we should be reminded that last year's Supreme Court ruling has struck a devastating blow to the voting rights in our country. The actions of state legislators across the country show how harmful the dismantling of the Voting Rights Act protections has already been. And the ultimate reality, unfortunate reality, is that while we have made great strides as a country, the Supreme Court decision has reinforced a harsh reality that the struggle for justice is not a one-time moment, but an ongoing process. Yes, we are good at commemorating the victories of the past, but we need to remember that racial discrimination and discrimination in voting is not a thing of the past. It still happens today. And make no mistake about it. Just like during Jim Crow's days, these voting laws passed by state legislators represent a deliberate attempt on the part of the white establishment, who can no longer win an election in which all Americans vote, to hold on to power of making sure only some Americans vote. This, my brothers and sisters, is a moral outrage. And we, as Unitarian Universalists, need to be reminded that a minister, one of our ministers, will club to death so that others may have the right to vote. And we cannot sit silently or sit comfortably in our seat while many of our citizens' voter rights are being eroded once again. So why should this matter to us? It should matter to us because one of our fundamental principles is the use of the democratic process. And as an expression of our faith, we have been defending the freedom to vote. And this is the core of our belief in who we are as Unitarian Universalists. From expanding enfranchisement for women and black Americans, to advocating a path to citizenship for immigrants, for civil rights engagement, to taking on the new Jim Crow, as a faith community, we are vocal on these issues and have made real changes throughout our history. In addition, many UU congregations engage in voter registration and protecting voting rights, not for a partisan reason, but to empower every eligible person to contribute to her or his own democratic voice. We as a faith community do this because voter rights are under attack in our nation, and our nation is in the midst of the most aggressive attempt to roll back voting rights in over a century. A century ago, the target was voting rights of black voters and other voters of color. The goal was to eliminate the presence at the polls to accelerate the spread of racial segregation. A century ago, the tactics were varied. Grandfather clauses, poll taxes, racially motivated ex-felon voting ban. Attacking voting rights were wrong then. Attacking voting rights is wrong now. Many of our brothers and sisters rose to the challenge then, and we must meet the challenge now. It is time for each of us to work together to defend and protect the constitutional right to vote. And why should this matter? It should matter to us because when the disenfranchised are denied their fundamental rights, when there are implement placed in the way to deny fully participation in our society, when there are efforts to deny education benefits, health care, and voting rights, many of our citizens lose their voice. And many in the privileged classes, the wealthy, and those who have means would attempt to control everything, not just in our government, but even the voting booths and the outcome of our political system. Now, most of us here today would never see our voting rights eroded. But we need to stand up for the rights of the thousands of our brothers and sisters who are being disenfranchised across the nation. And throughout the history of Unitarian Universalism, we have stood in support of voting rights. We have passed numerous voting rights resolutions on voting rights. People like Susan B. Anthony stood with women during the suffrage movement and fought and won the right to vote. We were deeply engaged in the civil rights movement that included winning the passage of the Voting Rights Act. So you know, we UUs, we just don't stand up. We show up too. We showed up this year on a cold day in February in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was there, and some of you were there too. We joined thousands of folks across the country at the Mass Moral March to witness solidarity. And together with our UUA president, Peter Morales, and our partners from other religious and justice organizations, we marched, we witnessed, we stood with Reverend William Barber II as he called for the voting rights, economic rights, racial and social justice for the citizens of North Carolina. Yes, my friends, we UU stands up for our brothers and sisters who are disenfranchised, marginalized, and oppressed, because we are a faith that believe in justice and doing what is right. But just as we stand for justice for all, we understand that it could be any one of us who falls when justice is absent. When democracy is threatened for one of us, it is threatened for all of us. In 1957, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and called for the greater protections of Southern blacks' rights to vote. Today, give us the ballot may sound like a call from an age long gone. But through the 5 decades following his assassination, the stark reality in 2014 for some people in our country, the access to the ballot is severely limited. And while we have made significant gains in voting rights, discrimination at the polls cannot be dismissed as a relic of the past. People of color, students, people with disability, poor people, immigrants, people with felony convictions, transgender people who are homeless, and many others still face obstacles today in registering to vote and casting ballots. And as we have witnessed over the last few years, states across the country continue their efforts to suppress the vote continue, and although the tactics have changed, the goal of disenfranchisement has remained the same. We in this faith community, working together with our partners from other state faith communities and other social justice groups, must act now to stop the disenfranchisement of some of our most vulnerable citizens. We as a community of faith has the moral authority to stop voter suppression whenever we see it, wherever we see it. We need to support the efforts to defend the freedom to vote. We need to get back the ballot back. We need to speak up against efforts that attempt to eliminate same-day registration. We need to continue to fight for the expansion of voters' rights. We need to fight against unjust voter ID requirements. We need to fight to get the ballot back. We need to fight to get the ballot back. 50 years ago this coming spring, the weeks leading up and during the 1965 Selma voters registration campaign, and for the march from Selma to Montgomery, Dr. King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference appealed to people all across the U.S. to join in the struggle for voting rights. Committed UU clergy and lay people answered the call, and they showed up. And in March of 2015, UU moderator Jim Key had asked us to show up again. We have received calls to return to Alabama, to Birmingham, Selma for learning and witnesses. We would be there to honor the courageous marchers who braved the horses and tear gas a half a century to go. But most importantly, We'll be there to renew our resolve, strengthen our commitment, and stand humbly in solidarity with our partners in the work. Jim Key is planning to be there. The UU Board of Trustees is planning to be there. I hope to join them on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Friends, how about you? Will you show up? Will you join us in Selma? Will you march with us to the bridge? Will you be there? I hope to see you. May this be so.